Hello and welcome to the No BS Approach to Motherhood podcast, hosted by Catherine Hay and Shelley McKenzie. We are both mothers and clinical nutritionists who specialize in women's health. We are here to not only bring you the most up-to-date nutritional and health advice when it comes to fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and children's nutrition, but our main goal is to break through the BS that can come with motherhood. No topic is off limits, so grab a cuppa or a glass of wine and join us for another raw and real conversation surrounding motherhood. Today, we are proudly sponsored by BioFirst, a family brand from the northern beaches of Sydney, where all of their products are actually made here in Australia.
Although they do a range of beautiful topical products that are handy in any home, today we will be highlighting their ultra-sensitive skin rescue lotion. This is a dermatologist-certified steroid-free lotion for eczema-prone, rosacea-prone, or ultra-sensitive skin and can be used for newborns from onwards.
Powered by a trio of oils, argan, jojoba, sea buckthorn, which are deeply moisturizing, nourishing, protective, and have no greasy clogging effects. Unique chemical-free alternatives that fight visible signs of hypersensitive and chronic skin distress. For sensitive skin prone to eczema or rosacea, product reactions, allergies or rashes, topical steroid withdrawal, redness, irritation, dryness, itchiness, or scaliness.
They have amazing reviews and success stories on their website, so don't just take our word for it. If you want to try their products, use our discount code NOBS15.
Links are in our bio. Hello and welcome back to another episode. Today, Cappy and I are going to be diving into childhood eczema a little bit. This we help many clients and their children with, and it's something that I would say is quite common, particularly within children. So today we're just going to be diving into what is eczema, signs to look for, how it can be determined, whether it's eczema or another skin condition, and then I guess some holistic methods that you might like to try in terms of your treatment approach. So Cappy, do you want to take it away with what is eczema?
Yeah, eczema is such a common condition that causes inflamed, scaly patches on the skin. And basically, you'll notice your child, and it can affect anywhere from newborns to adulthood. It's the whole spectrum of life. Eczema can affect the skin. So basically, it's very itchy and uncomfortable. You can usually see it, visually see it in patches on the body. Children with eczema often have other allergy type conditions like asthma, hay fever, or other quite inflamed immune system responses. They're quite prone to allergies. Eczema usually starts in the first few months of life. So we definitely see newborns presenting with eczema. Many children do grow out of eczema by teenage years, but some people have eczema all their lives. And it's about understanding, I guess, that root cause, what exacerbates eczema, and trying to keep that inflammatory response at bay as long as we can without those flares. Because what I love, I guess, about treating it holistically, we can really identify those common root causes of eczema, especially in babies. I find that they're really easy to treat usually. And if we have to further investigate, we can using other methods, which we'll talk about today. But they're all different. Like, there are different types of eczema too, because you can get atopic dermatitis and they can be triggered from a number of different areas, like irritants in fabrics, contact with chemicals, soaps, bubble bath is a big one that we see with some of our children. The different polyesters, wool, fibers in our clothes, exposures to allergens, so dust mites, animals, environmental factors such as pollens, grasses, what's in our environment, and also the different seasons. So what's getting carried through in the wind that can also affect us. Food allergies. How many times do we see food allergies in eczema, Michelle? All the time in clinic. Food intolerances, overheating. So there's definitely times where eczema can be worse during winter or summer due to the temperature changes. Stress is another big one that we see in adult eczema, but also in teenagers as well. So something that we can't dismiss. And then you've got your viral and your bacterial infections as well. And this can be a really common area when we're looking in the gut microbiome and having a deeper investigation, I guess, into the gut and how that can present on the skin, because the skin is the largest elimination organ.
And when you talk food intolerances or allergies, just to break that down a little bit as well, if you're breastfeeding your baby and your baby's starting to come up with eczema, that could be through your breast milk as well. So I always like to say to mothers and parents, let's try to get on top of this now before food is introduced as well, because I see commonly if eczema is there from newborn and beyond, and if it is an intolerance and then food's introduced, normally that parent will see the eczema just exacerbate as soon as that food has been introduced. And the great thing about the food introduction is that we're doing it slowly, so often we can pinpoint what that food allergy is. However, I do like to say the earlier we can get onto that, the better. I think eczema can be really confusing for a lot of parents, particularly parents of young children. So I guess the way eczema prevents is it's usually itchy. However, a baby's not going to be sitting there scratching it because they don't know how. So that will be, they might be instead irritable, uncomfortable, crying a lot. It's normally bumpy and inflamed patches of the skin. It might look red on your child, and often it sits in places like behind the knees, in the creases of the elbows, those kind of places. However, not necessarily and not always. So it is really important to try and get it diagnosed. And by doing that, you will, like a lot of people will often go to a GP, but ideally a dermatologist or a pediatrician will be able to actually tell you whether that is eczema or whether it's another skin condition such as rosacea or something along those lines instead. Do you agree, Cappy?
Yeah, absolutely. I find that that's the most helpful way for us to be able to treat it holistically too. And I also say to my clients, if you are unsure, it's good to keep a diary of your child's kind of flare-ups and what's going on when they happen. So this is where you can see, you know, what are they wearing? What have they consumed? Or what have you consumed if you're breastfeeding? Or was it hot? Was it cold? Were they in the bath? Where are those patches presenting as well? So you're kind of going to an appointment with a dermatologist or a pediatrician or whoever you're going to see for that diagnosis with a little bit of a background so they can use that information to diagnose as well. Because there's contact dermatitis, there's dermatitis psoriasis, those inflammatory skin conditions, which can look really similar to eczema as well.
And I think the other two things that we missed in terms of the triggers, and sorry, I pulled you away from that, but family history and gut health as well, are the other two big ones that we don't want to overlook there. So when Cappy was mentioning, you know, about the soaps and chemicals and the stress, particularly in older, or the food intolerances, they're the other two things that we really don't want to overlook when we're looking at the triggers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, normal typical treatment for eczema is the corticosteroid ointments and creams and moisturizing creams. So they're the main options from the conventional center. And sometimes, you know, we see in clinic too, it can be a little bit of a band-aid approach because they are so incredibly anti-inflammatory and drying. The skin's already really dry. So steroids are the most common creams that we use. And we can see obviously benefit to that, but the overuse of steroids, especially on little baby's skin, can have detrimental side effects too long-term. So there are definitely many holistic options we can use, from topical, which we'll dive into today. But that's, I guess, the conventional pathway for treating eczema is just topical skin steroids and moisturizing creams.
Yeah. And look, often they are a band-aid approach. And obviously, you guys know Cappy and I are very much time and place based practitioners. Like if your baby is distressed and you can see this patch of eczema, for example, getting more inflamed and it's causing distress of your baby, obviously the steroid creams are going to help heal that quick and I guess fix it short term. But once you have then cleared that up, if your baby is in distress or your child's in distress, or, you know, in clinic, I've seen kids that and toddlers start scratching it and then it starts to bleed. And, you know, there's that whole other element, particularly as your child does get older. Obviously, you want to be getting on top of that as quick as possible. But I think then you really need to start looking into what is actually causing this and what are causing these flares. So that's some of those things that we mentioned.
And some of the most common, and I'm talking generally speaking here, causes of eczema in, say, newborns and toddlers is dairy. That's one of the biggest ones I come across in clinic. It's a food allergy to the dairy protein that we generally see. Again, it changes from person to person, but that is a really common one, and especially if the mother is consuming dairy when she's breastfeeding, and that's translocating to the breast milk, and then we're seeing these eczema patches arise in the newborn. So dairy is a big food consideration if you haven't tried that, I guess, in removing it for a period of time and seeing if the eczema patches do clear up on their own.
Yeah, and I mean, if we think about a mother's diet, particularly if she is breastfeeding or in that newborn phase, often it is a little bit higher in things like chocolate because she's also looking for that quick energy as well. So, yeah, soy can be another one. What are some other food triggers? Dairy, soy, gluten.
Gluten. And then there's also things like eggs. You know, eggs can be a big one. And also things that if you've got really stubborn eczema and you have to dive deeper, you know, your nightshade, your salicylates, you've got these whole other food groups there that can be playing into that. And you really want the guidance of a professional like Shelley or myself who actually knows what that looks like, because you don't want to be stripping away all these food groups either, because we obviously need to nurture the mother, but also nurture the child if they are on solids and all the rest of it. So I think it's a very strategic management plan if you do have quite stubborn eczema and it is a little bit harder to find that root cause with all the normal, I guess, allergens in air quotes being kind of taken away from that picture. But something also that I do utilize in clinic, and I know you do too, Shell, is if I am seeing stubborn eczema and all the usual culprits have been removed from the diet, I will do a gut microbiome test so I can start to see is it a pathogen overgrowth in the gut, and 90% of the time it is, or it's a parasite there that's causing the skin irritation too. So fixing up the gut microbiome is obviously going to support the skin microbiome too.
For sure. And the other thing to think about on the allergies and stuff as well is don't forget your supplements. Like if you've pulled out dairy but still having supplements that are maybe lactose-based, they also need to be removed as well. But again, as you said, Cappy, just ensuring that you're actually replacing those nutrients in other places is going to be really important, particularly if we're thinking something like dairy, like we know breastfeeding strips the mother of her dairy, and if she does not have enough calcium in her diet, baby will literally pull it from bones, teeth, liver. So yeah, really important just to do it with guidance. All right, so what are some things that we can do? We now understand the root causes, so I guess then it's moving forward into a little bit of a treatment plan and looking at some nutrients. Do you have any go-tos, Cappy?
I guess some of my top go-tos, I'm looking at vitamin D, I'm looking at essential fatty acids, specific probiotics, and I'm also looking at zinc. Vitamin E also I generally use as a topical as well if we're looking to really support that skin barrier and for that moisture with the patches of skin. But they're a few of my top nutrient suggestions. And again, supplemented based on the individual. I wouldn't just go out and buy any fish oil for someone with eczema, because again, that fish oil could be very different to the fish oil that we would prescribe in clinic. Over the counter, I'm talking fish oils here. So they're my top. What top supplements, what would you suggest?
Yeah, pretty well the same. Like if we're thinking newborns aren't really exposed to sun exposure. So vitamin D is a really important one. I really like the brow of vitamin D drops. And I just say to a mother, put it on your nipple before a feed, or on a dummy if your baby's having a dummy or a bottle, the bottle teat. Probiotics, I think, are always a go-to for sure. And then it depends obviously on the age of your child as well. Like as your child gets older, particularly from one and over, there is so much more we can do from the gut. Or if you, even when your child is in that food introduction phase, there is so much more we can do in terms of bringing in those really beautiful gut healing foods, whether that be bone broth through the cooking or, but it is, again, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Remember that gut test that was done on that child and for eczema, and the child ended up being histamine, having a high histamine load. So something like bone broth could actually exacerbate it. So it is, I guess, complex eczema. But yeah, using probiotics is great. From memory, it's Lactobacillus rhamnosus.
Rhamnosus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the main strain that you're wanting for eczema prone skin. And again, when we're thinking about probiotics, it's about all probiotic strains have a different purpose within the body and within the gut. And so you're not just wanting to go on any kind of broad strain probiotic. You want to make sure that you're getting a probiotic that is specific to skin health and eczema. But yeah, otherwise you hit the nail on the head with like your DHEAs, all that kind of stuff.
And do you have any specific topical treatments you'd recommend from a holistic perspective?
Well, this episode is obviously sponsored by BioFirst, but they actually do beautiful topical creams. I love the jojoba, particularly like any products with jojoba. I love. I have had clients have great success with tallow as well. So grass-fed tallow, it helps to reduce inflammation of the skin. So I've had some clients use that and have really nice effects. I often will do things like chamomile baths as well. So in like the milk, you know, that you make like nut milks, the bags.
Yeah.
In those mesh bags, I would get clients just to get like loose leaf chamomile and put that bag in their child's bath and let them soak in that. I love using baths for healing effects. And I always say to parents, like, turn it into water play. So even with a newborn baby, like, turn that into water play, whether that be you hopping in there with them and letting them kick and splash, or you're giving them a feed in there so that they're able to really soak in to that goodness. Like, I promote my kids as well to have at least a 20-minute bath every day. And normally I've got things like your chamomile, your Epsom salts, breast milk, colostrum, stunning. You know, if you've got some colostrum left over, even putting that on the rash itself can be really beautiful as well.
Another one for the bath that I like too, again, depending on what age your kid is oats. Oats is really great.
Yeah.
In an oat bath. So again, using the same method that you've been explaining, Shell, with the chamomile, just putting a whole heap of rolled oats into that and doing a bit of like an oatmeal bath is really beautiful and healing for the skin too. So that's another nice alternative for the bath as well.
Yeah, for sure. And a little bit of herbal medicine, if your child's a little bit older, we can bring in things like chamomile is beautiful. I like to do chamomile in a sippy cup. So brewed hot, put ice cubes in it, let it cool, child drinks from a sippy cup. But there's also some really nice supplements as well with things like echinacea and licorice root in it as well, which is so, so beneficial for that eczema picture as well.
Yeah, beautiful. So I feel like eczema can be very multifactorial and it's a little bit of trial and error. Like we're saying, there can be many triggers or root causes to eczema. So again, you want to work with a healthcare professional that really understands the skin condition to support the immune system, the gut, obviously topically in the skin. So I hope that's been helpful for everyone. Obviously, if you've got any questions, concerns or anything, you can always reach out to us on the No BS Instagram account. And that's that.
Great. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. That way we can continue to inspire and reach more mamas around the globe. If you would like to get in contact, request a guest or topic, then head to the No BS Approach to Motherhood Instagram page and send us a direct message. Otherwise, until next episode, stay sane, mama.